On this edition of Oski Talk, we recap the Illini's second straight win against Nebraska, and we preview the Illini basketball team's season opener against North Carolina A&T. Let's go.
This won't end well for Illinois.
Here's a three. It ended well.
McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is gone.
Fourth and 16. Pressure comes. Emmanuel Bebe with the ball in the air. Makes the catch.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Oski Talk. My name is Anthony Pasquale with Patrick Catazone. A lot to get into today. The Illini have back-to-back wins, and with that, we're going to head right into our front page. So first here on the front page, Illinois defeats Nebraska 41-23. Illinois goes to 2-3 on the season. Patrick, what a game by these Illini.
Yeah, Illinois looked really good. Brandon Peters in his first game back was excellent. He got the best PFF rating of any quarterback in the Big Ten. I think you could expect that with 205 yards, a touchdown, and throwing for 18 completions for 25 attempts. So very impressive for Brandon Peters there. He looked really smooth. There were some great throws. I think the one touchdown, obviously, to Emmanuel Bebe is the one that stands out. Emmanuel Bebe looked really good, too. Four receptions for 71 yards and that great touchdown catch. It's unfortunate that, you know, our offense got so depleted that first because of COVID. And really, those first 2 weeks without Brandon Peters, you look at those games and now you're like, wow, if COVID didn't ever existed and, you know, guys didn't get COVID right after that Wisconsin game, boy, do we look good. Like, we look very, very good. And I think you could almost say that we would have won both those games against Purdue and Minnesota. Four quarterbacks in four games, I don't think you can expect to win very many of those games. And we didn't. We lost three of them. And we won one. The only one we won was with our second-string quarterback. Like, we couldn't win it with the first. Obviously, that Wisconsin game's a toss-up. You know, you play Caron Taylor for your fourth-string quarterback for two of the other ones. Like, it just sucks. This year's a bummer. But it goes to show you how good this team was going to be. And you think you had those three non-conference games, you had three more wins. And we're at 5-3 at this point in the season, which is where you want to be if you're the Illini. So it just sucks. It's unfortunate that this happened. But for now, Illinois is looking pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I want you to think about it like this for a second. All the other teams that have been affected by COVID in the Big Ten, you look at Wisconsin, you look at Maryland, think Purdue maybe or Nebraska and one more, they've all canceled games. If Illinois decided with all these guys out, we're going to cancel this game, Illinois is 2-1 right now, you know? But instead they're 2-3 because they knew they had enough guys to play and they played. I mean, it shows a lot to this organization or the program, you could say, that they're willing to play no matter who's out there just to play football.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And now you go into next year and you have these guys having the ability to come back for another year. And I think some of them certainly will, the guys who might not get drafted. So that's looking good. And you're pretty confident in the guy next year, at quarterback after that one game against Rutgers. So, look, the future's bright for Illinois, and I think if you're Lovie Smith, I said this was one of his, one of the games that he just had to win. This was one of the games this year specifically too, that he had to win, and he did, and he dominated Nebraska. He made him look terrible. I mean, you could wipe away that last touchdown. He basically Fetty Wapped him 38-17. As far as I care, or I should have said the other way. My bad. 17-38. So it's, you know, like it was a great game for Lovie Smith, and you look at this game and I think there's going to be some Illini fans that are like, damn, this game just bought Lovie Smith another 2 years, maybe another year for sure. But then after that, you kind of have to extend him. his contract's kind of ending up. So next year would be the extension year. And if you don't show confidence in Lovie Smith, you know, recruiting is going to continue to go down and stuff like that. So there's going to be people in the Atlanta fan base that are saying, ah, damn, we just bought Lovie Smith another couple of years of Illinois football, and we're that much farther from an actual rebuild. But, I mean, look where Lovie Smith has brought us. He's going to have guys in the draft this year, potentially pretty high. He's going to have Matt Urbebe, and he's probably going to have Kendrick Green, maybe a couple more linemen that go very late. I'm thinking, yeah, Viridian Lowe maybe. And Brandon Peters, kind of, we'll see how he ends up, finishes the season. But if he does that performance again, you know, he'll have people looking at him. He'll probably make a practice squad. So there will be Illini who are Lovie's, truly Lovie's players, because like I've said in the past, this is his team. This is the team he's recruited for. You'll have Lovie players in the NFL. And if you look at the way that they're playing football, it is much better than they have in the past 6-7 years. I mean, probably since Ron Zook, I could say that as a clear statement. They are playing football at a higher level than they have. So that's a step forward. So I don't think a lot of these players will leave, say if Lovie Smith leaves, but he's improved the team. He's improved the program, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Lovie Smith's job is safe for now, and if he coaches the way he did against Nebraska, that'll definitely be a good thing. But you talked about Peters. I want to get into the rest of the offense a little bit. A lot to like, especially running the ball. After the game, Lovie said, "We get off the bus running the ball." It certainly appeared that way on Saturday. Chase Brown, 26 rushes for over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mike Epstein, 13 rushes for over 100 yards, a touchdown for him. Brandon Peters even got in with a touchdown on the ground himself. Isaiah Williams had a few carries to pick up a couple of first downs. Even Blake Hayes, the punter, picked up a 14-yard gain rushing. They were all over the place on the ground and really developing a two-headed monster out of the backfield.
Yeah, I'll start off by saying that Blake Hayes' move was great. Great instincts there.
He could have done that a lot of times.
Yeah, he's great. I love Blake Hayes. He's been very good, and I got to say, great move by him, and it was fun to watch. Now let's get into the real stuff. My apologies to Mike Epstein. He was fantastic this week. He proved that he really hasn't lost a step. He looks good. He's quick off the line. He got beat there towards the end of that big run play that he had. I can't remember how many yards that was.
58.
Yeah, the 58-er. You think he just got a little bit gassed, but it was fun to watch. He was great in that game. The feature back now, I think, is Chase Brown. He was tremendous. 110 yards, 2 touchdowns. He looked great on the field, really smooth. I think he got gobbled up a couple times because the play calling wasn't mixed well. I think they should have put in more play action. They love that little play action boot out to Brandon Peters' left side, which I think is so fascinating because he's a righty. So he is throwing the ball, you know, across his body. It's really impressive, and that play is pretty great. So I'd like to see a couple more boots to them, especially with Peters coming back, just so that he can mix in some more, you know, pass plays so that you could get some relief for the run game. But the run game, despite me saying that, was fantastic. BP was pretty good. He's going to have to run more against Ohio State. As we've seen, Ohio State is not great against dual threat quarterbacks. So if you could burn them and really make them think what they're doing, that'll be successful. That's why I wouldn't be too surprised. And we'll get into more Ohio State this next episode if you see Isaiah Williams a little bit more than we did this week. But that being said,
yeah.
Even Isaiah Williams got in there for a couple rushes, and he didn't look too bad either.
Yeah, and, I mean, you're going to need a lot out of everybody if you're going to want to beat Ohio State. You're going to need to pull out all the stops. But moving on kind of on the offense before we get into the defense, which was just as good, if not better, like you talked about, it was great to see the Peters to Matt Urbebe connection back in full swing. 4 catches, 71 yards for him. Donnie Navarro picked up 5 catches himself, 58 yards. He was rated high in the Big Ten, I think the second highest rated wide receiver after the week. And then the one guy I want to talk about, and it's somebody you've talked about a lot on our show here, something I want to give you a little bit credit for, Daniel Barker was great on Saturday, and I think he's really emerged as the top tight end on this staff. Obviously, Daniel Amaterbebe and then Luke Ford have gotten a lot of attention and a lot of hype, and Barker's kind of flown under the radar, but he's the guy.
Yeah, Daniel Barker is the best tight end on this team. I fully believe that, and that's why you're not seeing Luke Ford get more receptions. I know you're excited about him, but at the end of the day, it's a call of, you know, it's a head coach's call to and an offensive coordinator's call to who plays tight end, and if they think that is Daniel Barker who's the best tight end, they're gonna play Daniel Barker. They don't care about what you think, you know, Luke Ford brings to this team. They don't. They care about the best tight end. So I think, you know, the frustration from a lot of fans being like, well, why do we have this 5-star recruit sitting on the bench? It's because Daniel Barker's playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
And I will say this too about all the receivers, including the tight ends. You know, when you have your fourth string quarterback or your second string quarterback in a game, you don't expect them to be great with those receivers. I think Isaiah Williams was probably best to Casey Washington. And that's because he throws it to Casey Washington quite a bit. It takes time for, you know, quarterbacks to create that relationship with the wide receivers. And right away we saw it with Brandon Peters. He comes back in this game. Josh Amaterbebe plays great. So does Dine Navarro, two of his favorite targets. Those were names we were not hearing a lot of the past 3 weeks, despite them being stars and being great players. So, you know, now that Brandon Peters is back, you're going to hear their names a little bit more. But it was, you know, it's nice to see them kind of come back.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, because the weeks without Peters, those were the weeks that Amaterbebe's not only production, but targets went down a lot. And you get, like you said, it's tough to develop that chemistry with your receivers. Obviously, Peters has the best chemistry with the most receivers, and you kind of saw that in full swing on Saturday. But I mean, obviously the offense was great, but to me the real storyline was the defense. They were phenomenal. 5 takeaways in the game, 3 in the first half. We'll start with Jake Hansen, a fumble recovery, an interception, led the way with I think 9 tackles or something like that. And then he was also very near the other forced fumble that happened in the game. Hansen keeps impressing week after week after week.
He does. He's all over the field. He's a guy that I think at the beginning of the season, when he made that change to middle Mike linebacker, you were pretty confident in it. And I didn't notice it this week. Did he fully switch back to the outside or no?
He was outside more than inside this week, it looked like. I think it's because of how well Tolson and Barnes were able to play when they got to play in the middle. It seemed like, especially with Eifler out, outside has been where Jake's been the most.
Yeah, so there you go. He's looking good. I've always been excited about Jake Hansen, and he was tremendous. He got the interception, like you said, made a couple great tackles. He's all over the place. He's playing, you know, the way that Lovie Smith wants. And I think what's really nice about this team too, you mentioned Tolson and Barnes. They're playing the linebacker position the way that Lovie Smith wants them. And
yeah,
when you think of the prototypical linebacker, at least for Lovie Smith, I think it's without a doubt Jake Hansen, a guy who could get the ball quick. When we've seen some of those, you know, Tampa 2 breakdowns, it's because those linebackers aren't getting to their spots quick enough, and playing the coverage the right way. And I said last week I thought a lot of that was a technical problem, or not a technical problem, but like a none of them are having fun out there. The heart's just not there in this team. And I think they brought a little bit more heart this week. I think when the interceptions start flowing and you start putting up scores on the board, you feel much better about your defense. And, you know, when you look at, you know, what we did against Nebraska, you know, Ohio State had a harder time against Nebraska's offense than we ended up having. Or I guess not, probably the same. But, you know, we did some similar stuff. And, I mean, you look at Ohio State this week too. They had trouble against a pretty damn good Indiana team. So, now I don't want to create any idea, and I don't want to put this idea in your head that we're going to beat Ohio State, but we might, the gap between us and Ohio State might be closer than we think. And I think a good way to show that is the performance by the defense this week.
Yeah, I mean, looking around the rest of the defense, we talked about Hansen, but the other linebackers were just as involved in some of the takeaways. Tariq Barnes had an interception, and Kalen Tolson had a forced fumble in recovery. Tony Adams had an interception and a bunch of tackles. He really had a good game, 9 solo tackles, 13 total, and hit the interception. You had Isaiah Gay with a sack, Owen Carney Jr. with a sack and a half, Rod Perry with the other half sack there. So 3 sacks, 3 picks, 2 forced fumbles. I mean, this defense was relentless on Luke McCaffrey, so much so that they ended up pulling him and putting in Adrian Martinez at the end of the game. So this defense was really good. Secondary was much better than in any other game this season. They were not getting completely burned. They were breaking up passes. Comes away with 3 picks. Just all around best game so far from the defense this year by far.
Yeah, no question. Nate Hobbs had 1 catch. That's a good sign. That means his coverage was – or 1 tackle, I meant. That means his coverage is pretty good. Devin Witherspoon, same story. He only has 1 solo tackle. I take that back. Nate Hobbs is 3. So those are good signs. And when your linebackers lead in the tackle category, I think you feel good about this defense. There wasn't the holes. I felt like, one thing I did mention too, I felt like Lovie's defense does play well into a spread offense that runs the ball at the quarterback quite a bit. I really didn't think Luke McCaffrey, felt confident running the ball. And when he did, I don't know if this was just a freshman mistake by him, but he got hit. You know, and I said it, to the people around me during the game. I'm like, if you can get, and I think I said on the podcast too, you could get Luke McCaffrey very uncomfortable. It's gonna feel really good if you can get him where he doesn't feel comfortable throwing the ball, and he's double, second guessing himself about whether or not to run or pass the ball. You're gonna win this game, and I really felt like by the end of the second half, they had really gotten into his head, and the third quarter was just, I guess, the pinnacle of that, where he just couldn't put it all together, and he just wasn't all there. So that was really nice to see, and we all know the holes in this defense, at least when we're in cover two, and I don't want to bag on the cover two too much, because I've said it, like, week in, week out, we don't play that every snap. Lovie's been mixing more looks up than we really think. But we know where those problems are in the cover two defense, and we just really haven't seen them. Nebraska didn't exploit them this week. So it'll be interesting to see if Ohio State does and what the defense looks like that week. But I do think that the gap between us and the best in the Big Ten is now smaller than it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Illinois came into that game as 16-point underdogs, end up winning the game by 18. Forget this, their first win at Nebraska since Red Grange was suiting up for Illinois in 1924, and also Lovie's first win against Nebraska, home or away.
Yeah, that's impressive, and first win against Nebraska and since Bill Cubitt was the head coach. So I mentioned games that we had to win this year, and I felt Nebraska and Iowa were 2 of them. You got half of that done, and you got the other half coming up in 2 weeks.
Yeah, next week on the schedule, we don't need to introduce this opponent all that much. Ohio State on the schedule next weekend should be interesting. They usually have a different team to prepare for the weekend after Thanksgiving. But it's Illinois this week, so we'll see how that one goes, and we'll preview it next week. But we got some basketball to talk about.
We sure do. The tournament, I don't know what they're calling it, the Illinois tournament, I guess. Thanksgiving tournament is coming up this week. We'll have 1 game to preview, and then we'll hit the rest on the Thursday episode. But looking at North Carolina, A&T, I think Illinois is going to win this one, Anthony, I got to say.
The number 8 team in the country should win all 3 of these games. A little bit of a schedule change. Ohio is still the game on Friday. North Carolina, A&T still the game on Wednesday. The Thursday game was supposed to be Wright State. They dropped out due to COVID-19 concerns. So Chicago State is going to be taking over. Game times 1 p.m. on Wednesday, 11 a.m. on Thursday, and noon on Friday. We'll start with previewing the game at 1 o'clock on Wednesday. North Carolina A&T comes to take on Illinois at State Farm Center. First, we'll see if a lot of these Illinois players, we'll get to see some of them back in action. But what do you got on the North Carolina A&T squad?
You know, not a lot of information is what I said when I was prepping for this, just kind of looking at A&T's squad. A lot of guys are not returning. Their number one scorer, Ronald Jackson, is no longer on the team. I believe he graduated. So that's a little bit different there. They do have some size, believe it or not. They are not kind of an undersized team. They got 7-footer, which is a little bit surprising. David Greer, junior, coming in for North Carolina A&T. So Kofi might have a little bit of competition, but in general, like, I wouldn't take these games too seriously. In the past, Illinois has struggled in some of these games to begin the season. We typically begin the season off slow. This is the one year I got to say I don't think that'll happen. You come
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I also think.
Go ahead, sorry. No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, I also think it's one year that you can't afford to start off slow, especially with a ranking that high. You're playing for seeding in the tournament all season long, and with only 6 non-conference games and only 3 of them being really of these tune-up types, I think you got to win them.
Yeah, they're yeah, and I think they will. It'll be interesting to see who is the starter. For the starters for this team, you know, I really do think that it'll be Adam Miller in instead of Demonte. You know, a lot of people, you know, I've talked to have said I'm wrong there. It'll be Demonte and Miller starting in the beginning of the season, but won't be starting in the beginning of the season, but later. Completely disagree with that. I think he's in basically right away. So that's
small
exciting
lineup
to see.
Then.
Yeah, I think, yeah, a little bit. I mean, not really. I think you start, you probably end up with Kofi, Georgie, Adam Miller, Io, and Trent. And I, dude, is that really a small? Because, I mean, I feel like that's pretty much what we played all
it's
year last year.
It's smaller than if you had Monte at the 3, Georgie 4, Kofi 5.
Is Monte that much smaller than Adam Miller, though?
He plays a lot bigger than Adam Miller. Adam Miller plays like a guard. Monte definitely doesn't.
Right, and I think last year, I don't want to diss the defense, I guess, this year, but probably a little bit less focus on defense this year, more on scoring.
I hear you.
Which is why I think Demonte won't be in. Just with all the star power now that you have at Illinois, and ability to get the ball down low to Kofi with 3 good guards that can pass, you know, pass the ball and also shoot
yeah.
it. Like, I just think that the focus is no longer on big, strong defense. It'll be on, you know, this team scoring points. So I think that's what it'll be. We'll see. I could be completely wrong. You know, there's a couple other guys too. I'm excited about Coleman Hawkins. We'll see if he gets some playing time. He's a guy that I felt like after the presser felt a little bit more confident in.
Yeah,
seemed like he's
me
learning
too.
A lot. So yeah, and whenever Illinois football or basketball or I guess media, whenever the DIA kind of gives you a guy to talk to at media credentials that you're like, this is kind of a question mark decision here. You're kind of like, oh, okay. So DIA knows what's going on a little bit more than we do. Maybe
yeah.
we should be paying more attention to this guy. So he's kind of that guy this season for me.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So this team did play Illinois last year. It was right before the new year. Illinois beat them at home 95-64. Their main scorer and main rebounder all of last year was Ronald Jackson. I'm not sure.
Sure.
I think
he's gone.
They lost him. So he's gone, and their other really big guy from last year was Tyler May, and I'm pretty sure he's gone as well.
Yeah, he's he's here. He'll be there.
He is. Okay, so he's the guy really to look out for Illinois. But I think I'll start with the starting lineup first. I think just because, you know, senior year for these guys. I think Damonte Williams and Trent Frazier are both going to be in the lineup at least day one. And I think Georgie will get in the lineup as well initially. So that would put my lineup as Io, Trent, Damonte Williams, Georgie Bishanishvili, Kofi Coburn. I think as the year goes on, we might be seeing more Adam Miller, maybe even some Curbelo, and maybe less Williams and less, maybe less Bishanishvili like we did last year. But I think initially that's the five you're going to see. I'm expecting, like you, I expect a blowout in this game here. I think they're going to win big. I don't know if it's quite going to be 95-64, but I'm expecting a lot of points out of these guys. And I mean, a lot of these guys are on watch lists. They're in the top eight in the NCAA. I think they're going to prove why on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. The two players I'd really look out for, Fred Cleveland Jr. He's a 5'9 guard, but the fact he's from Chicago and was the top scorers last year is concerning. I feel like when you play some of these lower teams, guys who just got overlooked by Illinois tend to play pretty good against Illinois. And the other one being the top returning scorer, Cameron Langley. He's a senior as well, so he's another guy to look out for in this one.
Want to give a good old score prediction here?
Yeah, I haven't done a basketball one in a while, but I'm going to go high scoring for the Illini, probably somewhere around 90. To, I don't know how much respect I want to give him, 65. If we lose this game, I am just going to be so depressed. But no chance do I think that we're going to lose this one. So,
what's the line? Do you know what the line is?
Oof, that's a great question that I do not have an answer to, but I can look it up soonish.
All right. I'm obviously going to take Illinois to win. I think in that 30-point range is going to be nice. I'll take Illinois 93 and North Carolina A&T 67. If the line is somewhere in the 20s, I think Illinois would cover it.
Yeah, line hasn't come out yet, so we'll see where it's set. Maybe we'll be part of the maybe they'll listen into us, Vegas, and make the decision after that.
Yeah, we'll see. And then of course, Thursday and Friday's games we'll talk about later in the week, which will also preview Illinois' game against Ohio State. So a lot to get into later on in this week. That'll wrap up this episode, except we've got one last segment here. Our Illini of the Week. Pat, take it away.
Yeah, our Illini of the Week, we were talking about maybe Brandon Peters, but I felt bad because we passed up on Isaiah Williams last week, who definitely should have gotten it. So I don't want to give it to Brandon Peters this week either. But I do want to give it to whoever runs the University of Illinois Athletics Twitter page, because that tweet this week was absolutely electric. Thank you, Nebraska, for bringing back football. It was petty, necessary, and kind of an FU to Nebraska. And I don't know if there's anyone from Nebraska who listens to this podcast, but I got to say it was I don't know. It was worth it. And I don't think you could get too mad about it. Like, at the end of the day, this is like sports Twitter is very like toxic in that way. Like, it's toxic funny. So I don't think Nebraska fans could really get mad at it. And, you know, after this game, like, I would hate to just be a Nebraska fan to both hate your alum football coach after losing to a bad Illinois team, and then seeing that tweet, getting more mad, and having like no hope for the future for some reason that like that your football team won't be good because you're too afraid to fire your alum coach, and you, I don't know, you're just in this big pity despair if you're a Nebraska fan. So I guess if you are a Nebraska fan listening to this, we've all been there as Illini fans.
Yeah.
Welcome to the bottom of the barrel.
a very deserving Illini of the Week there to whoever it is that runs that Twitter. Like you said, if we were giving it to somebody on the field this week, of course, would be Brandon Peters. Last week, probably Isaiah Williams. But, I mean, the person going into space and then the person running this Twitter account were too big for us to pass up our opportunity. So they get the Illini of the Week this week. That'll wrap up this edition of Oski Talk. Really quick, just want to lay out the fact Illinois football has won two in a row. and the top 10 ranked Illini basketball team kicks off this season in a few days. A lot to be excited about.
Absolutely. IOL, man.
INR.